All this talk about fruit sort of didn't make me hungry, but it got me thinking about what a wonderful thing it is to eat fruit and how much I enjoy eating fruit. And I feel sorry for those people who can't have fruit or for some reason don't like it. But if you think about it, God has provided the fruits of the earth to bring delight, not only in nutrition, but also delight to the hearts of human beings. You think about, you know, how nice it is to have a fresh, ripe watermelon on a hot summer day, or to eat fresh cherries from the orchard, or any kind of fresh produce. There's just a certain delight in eating those foods. In fact, when fruits start coming into season, people get excited. You know, someone grows apricots or something and they share with others. It's just a delight to receive those things and enjoy the fruits of the earth. But as with everything, God gives us these visible and tangible experiences so that he can teach us something about what we can't see or sense, spiritual realities. And Jesus' teaching about fruit in this gospel today makes us think and reflect about what these spiritual fruits are that we are supposed to enjoy and bear in the world. Well, we turn to the letter to the Galatians and the fifth chapter, and St. Paul enumerates 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. In other words, these fruits are what are the natural, or we could say supernatural, result of someone living by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And he tells us that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if someone lives according to the Holy Spirit, these fruits will be born in their life. And it's interesting to see that we enjoy these fruits when other people offer them to us. When we're treated with love and peace, patience and kindness and so forth, we love that. We delight in it. And God designed us in that way. When we're treated with the opposite, when we receive meanness or stinginess or unkindness, hatred, those kinds of things, we want to get out of those situations as soon as we can because we weren't made for that. But God made us to not only delight in those fruits as they are offered to us, but also to be vessels and conduits for bringing the delight of those fruits into the world. Think about that. That's a really beautiful thing, that God designed us, made us, to bring delight into the world, so that people who encounter us can delight in God's goodness and the abundance of his fruitfulness. Take a look at your life in light of the fruits of the Holy Spirit: love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you see those fruits in your life? I hope you see those. I know you see those fruits in your life. Sometimes it's good for us to ask the question, am I lacking any of those fruits? Am I bearing those fruits as abundantly as the Lord is calling me to? Or do I need to pay a little more attention to bearing the fruit of patience in my life, of generosity, of self-control, or any of those fruits? Chances are, we'll see, yes, there are some areas where we could use some growth. But even if we don't find an area of lack, the fact still remains that we will have greater delight in life if we bear those fruits in greater abundance. Jesus talks about pruning those branches that are attached to the vine so that they can bear more fruit. He doesn't say, okay, get to a certain amount of fruitfulness in your life. That's enough. Be satisfied with that. Stop making efforts to grow. Of course not. There's always this process of pruning in our life so that we can bear these fruits more abundantly and experience greater delight and be conduits of that delight for other people in our life. How does it happen? How? Jesus is very clear. It's only when the branches remain grafted to the vine that they can be fruitful. We don't muster up love, joy, peace, patience, and all those fruits on our own. Yes, we have to cooperate with God's grace. We have to say yes when we know that He's inviting us and calling us to bear these fruits in greater abundance. So we are involved. But it's not by our own strength that we do these things. It's only because we stay connected to Christ that we are able to be fruitful in this world. How to stay connected to Christ? There are lots of people who simply say, well, I have a relationship with the Lord. And for them, they feel that that is sufficient. Catholics might say, well, I go to Mass every Sunday. I follow the precepts of the church. I go to confession at least once a year. I observe days of fasting and abstinence during Lent. I contribute to the material upkeep of the church and so forth and so on. I observe all of these things, so I'm connected. Well, I hate to tell you, those are the bare minimum that's expected of Catholics. You look at the catechism, it says this is the minimum, Mass every Sunday, observing days of fasting, contributing to the upkeep of the church, and so forth. So a lot of people see that as like the goal that we're striving for. But really, that's the bare minimum in our life of faith. And it's not to heap burdens upon ourselves and say, oh, well, gosh, I'm not doing very well. The reality is God calls us to so much more. He's saying, okay, you know, you can be legalistic about it and just go with the minimum, but I want you to bear more and more fruit in this world. I want you to be a more and more perfect vessel of love and joy, peace, patience, and kindness for this world. I want you to bring greater and greater delight into this world. And when we do that, when we hear Him calling us to that, then we ask the question, how do I get more deeply connected to Christ? Because it's only in getting to a deeper connection with Christ that those fruits are going to be born in greater abundance. I'll offer just a couple of suggestions. The first has to do with time, the time we spend with and for the Lord. Sometimes we have an idea that increasing our prayer life means abandoning all of the other things that we have to get done, going to our back room and spending an hour in prayer. It might mean that for some people. I think rather, though, that growing in our prayer life means we dedicate more and more what we do through the day to the Lord. So before we get in the car and go someplace, we pray. Before we do some little task at work, we say a quick little prayer. Lord, help me to do this. Or perhaps it's just a matter of stopping at various points throughout the day and being mindful that God is present and allowing that prayer of adoration to well up within you, a prayer of love. Perhaps it means stopping by the church someday on a Tuesday when the church is unlocked, or if you have a key, letting yourself in. But spend some time adoring the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The people who spend time every day with the Lord who's present in the Eucharist are different. There's just no disputing that. I know lots of people who spend an hour a day with the Blessed Sacrament, they're different. They're radiant. And it's not that they don't have problems in their life, but even in the midst of the problems, they're able to find peace and joy because they know that they're grafted onto that vine. Perhaps it's an increase in spiritual reading, a couple minutes, 5-10 minutes in a day, pick up a spiritual book. It can be all kinds of different things. Maybe it's going to be participation in the total consecration to Jesus through Mary that I'm encouraging people to begin on May 11th. For each person, it may be something different. We all have to discern on our own how the Lord is calling us to deepen our connection to Him. But let's not be minimalists. Let's not just ask the question, what's the least I can get by with to stay connected to the Lord so that these fruits will be born in my life? Let's strive to bear abundant fruit and to deepen that connection with the Lord so that our delight in this life and in the next may be super abundant.